I did not bring him here to America to fight in the streets with fools.
Joe, it does not matter where you raise him. You must teach him the way of the ninja.
Only a ninja can stop a ninja. This is FilmSack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to FilmSack. This is FilmSack, episode 166. I think I told you last week it was 166. That was incorrect. That was 165. This is 166. My name is Scott Johnson, and joining me tonight... Oh, by the way, we mine the very depths of FilmSack, or of film entertainment for all mankind. All right. Joining us tonight, Brian, throwing star to the kid's face, Dunaway.
Perfect. Mm. Oh, no, someone killed all of my in-laws. Bummer. Oh, crap. Somebody killed my son with a throwing star to the head. Now, that does suck. A storm drain surprise ninja sword attack.
You really like that first scene. That's great. Also with us, Randy. Favorite. He spits ninja stars in your face, Jordan.
Aloha, Brian. Brian, Scott. Hello, Mr. Tagachi. It's Jim at the travel agency calling you back. Got your message that you returned home just in time to catch the ninja killing your whole family, except the baby. Oh, and grandma. And you killed every single one of the attackers. So, okay, I guess it makes sense to move halfway around the world to leave the violence behind. But you said you wanted to move to Los Angeles? Would you please confirm that for us? I mean, really, Bogota would be a less violent place to flee to? Maybe, oh, I don't know, you'd prefer Jerusalem? Seriously, you could go like 100 miles away from LA and find perfect peace for the rest of your life. What you're asking for here, I may as well go ahead and pre-murder grandma for you.
Yep, and you're going to travel with Bill Russell from the NBA, or whoever he was. And then finally, joining us, Brian, who knew you had a main artery in your stomach? Ibit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You do, yes. Teach your son the ways of the Izod. It's actually far better than the way of the blonde, because in this film, the blonde is beaten up by everyone. The bad guy, his henchman, even the good guy, and his six-year-old son.
Yeah.
She I love that pink Izod. That was awesome.
Quite the victim, that girl.
Yeah, she was.
Yeah, and we could never figure out whether she was double-crossing the one, or I don't know. It was very confusing.
She's a bit of a, I won't say a local embarrassment. She's a local, we'll get into all the local stuff, but she's a local actress slash model and did not do much after this, but she's known here for being.
Is there any worse insult than say, oh yeah, he's the local, embarrassment.
No, she's just one of those.
I thought she was pretty.
She is pretty. Oh, gorgeous.
She's kind of a Willie Scott, like a what's her face from the second Indiana Jones movie.
Oh, right. Down in the raft. Yeah. Right, that one. No Time for Love, Dr. Jones. That one.
That's the one.
We're talking about Ashley Farrar.
Sure. Yes, that's the one. And she was a born and raised local Salt Lake City actress, model, lady, and had a lot more success in modeling. She was not a good actress, and this movie didn't do any favors for that.
She didn't have a lot of competition in this movie.
Not
so.
Really. She is one of the few people that weren't overdubbed constantly, which was
right,
nice.
That was weird.
Yeah, a lot of mixing, and I have clips of some of that later, which will be fun to play around with. But before we get too far, this is Revenge of the Ninja. And Scott Fletcher has a little piece of paper he's going to read from now.
Revenge of the Ninja! To escape his blood-soaked past, former ninja assassin Cho Asaki leaves Japan and relocates to Los Angeles, where he's befriended by an American businessman who, unbeknownst to Asaki, is a heroin trafficker embroiled in a beef with a mob boss.
Beef.
Beef. That wasn't quite right. The American was already his friend at the beginning of the film.
Right,
mm-hmm. It was.
But that movie was real bad at establishing any.
Unless
of that.
They're referring to the other mob, like the other. No, I guess it is the same.
At the beginning,
talk about the mob boss. Yeah,
right.
At the beginning of the movie, Cho, who's the only main character in the movie, Cho,
and the only Japanese guy ever to be named Cho. Go ahead.
Right, he is returning from negotiating a business deal with this American, but right. So maybe they're not friends and everything. But Cho is a doll maker or a doll seller.
Right.
and he's trying to get this American
action
to invest.
Action figure seller.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's trying to get this American to invest in his business.
Yeah.
When he comes home to find the ninja attacking.
Well, and but remember, there was a scene where they busted one and it was full of heroin, so that was the heroin part of it.
Right. Yeah. Like that was actually kind of clever.
Mm. It was. Yeah. Worst ninjas ever, by the way, in the opening scene.
Oh, my God.
They were pretty good, dude.
I mean, the rest of it, ninjas were kind of pretty decent, held in respect, because the only ninja really saw was Cho and this American actor we've been talking about.
Yeah.
But the opening ninjas, oh, they were hilarious.
They were good, man. They were really good. They weren't anything ninja-like. Like, they weren't slow and quiet. They weren't sneaky. They weren't not loud. Like, they were just, like, bumbling idiots.
They were terrible. The only thing they were trained for was killing kids and little old ladies.
Yeah, that's bad.
That's about it. Yeah.
It needed about 20 of them to kill women and children.
Yeah. Like, that's the thing. It's everybody's home, and I guess they're all getting ready for lunch or something. It's like or between lunch and nap time because they're all milling around.
Right.
And two dozen ninja come along.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's so awesome. Some of the shots. Oh, man. The ninja in the tree. The ninja on the roof.
Yeah. It's so awesome. So obviously. I mean, so obvious. They were just like in plain sight.
Yeah.
It's like, how can you not see them?
You guys are going to hear a bunch of this today, but I actually walked on that little pagoda space that was supposed to be Japan. That's just this botanical gardens place in Salt Lake City. It's like nothing fancy. You can go down there anytime, and I've seen a guy urinate. I've seen a hobo urinate there.
Before. Did you ever see any? You ever seen any ninjas hide?
Did he get a shuriken to the neck?
No, but he should have. So those that thing sets up what I was starting to think was when I got into this. I started hearing the music. I'm like, oh, this music is so bad. This is going to be some 80s garbage action movie. But what we got instead is kung fu fun from top to bottom. Like I had a ball. It's not good. Do not misquote me. This is not a good movie. It's never going to be a good movie, but it is a great bad movie, and it's maybe one of my favorites we've ever done. It's probably taken top spot for me.
I would say this is Troll 2 bad, but not as wink wink Troll 2 like cult status kind of thing.
Well, what's going on here is Sho Kasuji is like the he's like Jackie Chan of ninja.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. Like, and he really knows what to do. And Keith Vitale is like the American Jackie Chan. Like, he was a famous karate fighter before he ever made this movie.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got all the moves. He thinks he's got the voice, which is bizarre. His voice is so erratic.
He doesn't have the acting move. That's the one move they didn't teach him.
But what they do with Keith Vitale, what they do with Keith Vitale is have him wear a mask when he goes ninja mode. And so you get to really enjoy his moves. And man, they load this movie down with every kind of ninja weapon and every kind of ninja method, and they're all fake. None of them are real.
I would have nerded out as a kid, though, had I seen
it. That's why I loved this movie when I was a kid.
This staff has a knife in it, and if you pull the knife off, there's a little knife in there.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Movie was like choreographed by a 12-year-old, which was awesome.
If you throw down some caltrops, then you've got a weapon. But if you throw down some marbles in front of the caltrops, somebody will fall on them with his face. Yeah. Like, man,
I love movies where you're constantly guessing about what creative way is he going to get hurt or killed here. Like when is he going to go down that slide? How quick is he going to have dirt thrown in the face? Like, I love that kind of stuff. And it's the 12-year-old boy in me just rooting it on.
Absolutely.
Like, yeah, dude, he's got another bomb of smoke in it somehow, somewhere.
And then about two-thirds of the way through the movie, it gets invaded by Breakin' 2 Electric Boogaloo for no reason.
Well, no, there's a reason. This is the director of Breakin' 2 Electric Boogaloo.
Sorry.
Sam Furstenberg is his name.
All right. And, go do your thing.
Yeah, and he did that. He's director. I think it's the only other movie we've seen that he's directed, but Breakin' 2 Electric Boogaloo was his big piece of business back in the day. He also did the American Ninja movies, American Ninja 1 and 2, then Breakin' 2, Revenge of the Ninja, which is nothing, it's not connected to American Ninja at all.
Right.
It came 2 years later, so he was in the mood.
He had ninja on the brain.
Right. But he's famous for things like Cyborg Cop 2 and Spiders 2 Breeding Ground and terrible films, all. Delta Force 3, The Killing Game. He's maybe one of my favorite people ever because all these movies sound like great film sack movies and I'd like to watch them all. Quicksand. Oh, I don't even know what that is, but I'd love to see it.
Mm-hmm.
He's from Poland, born in 1950. Born Szmulmuk Furstenberg. I like a good Furstenberg.
It's mm-hmm. Szmulik.
Furstenberger.
Szmulik.
Szmulik, I don't know. I can't do the Polish names. Anyway, writers James R. Silk, Syke, something like that, and then stars this Sho Kosugi. And by the way, couldn't you just call him Sho and not Cho? Because Cho's not a Japanese name. Mm-hmm. It's a Chinese name.
Right. Chinese, right. Yeah.
So what were they doing? They also, check this out.
They mix their Japanese and Chinese up a lot.
Right. So you got your blonde SLC crap actress model getting beat up the whole time. You got the film was originally shot in L.A. or was supposed to be shot in L.A., but never got the necessary permits. So there's one. It's one of these deals. Yeah. Somebody's moving and shaking and can't get the right deals.
Right. So the filmmakers also believed that they had a great big thing on their hands. Like they had really high hopes for doing these awesome things with the action, and you know, so it was going to be just cheaper and faster to do it somewhere other than the state of California. And you're like, okay, all right, I get that. They chose Salt Lake City?
Yeah, and here's why. So SLC at the time and the Utah Film Commission, which is a big deal now, they're kind of huge now, was trying to get Canon Films to start producing films in their state. A representative promised no permits, no location fees, no union deals, as well as lower salaries for local crews. The commission's assurances persuaded them to switch their filming schedule to Salt Lake City. And you know what? If you're not from here, it's fine. It looked fine. But if you're from here, you see everything and you know what the hell's going on. It's like anything. Like we've seen movies, you know, when Randy was living in Canada that were shot like
in Vancouver.
Yeah, in Vancouver. And you'd be like, oh.
Yeah, Tron Legacy.
That's no way that thing is the thing it's supposed to be or whatever.
But the thing about this is, it like now that you know, now that you know that basically Salt Lake City said, oh, so they've got all these protections for workers in California? Oh, no problem. Just come here. You can just kill our people. Not throw them off roofs and stuff. No worries. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you want to do some parkour? No problem.
It's funny because that opened up a lot of the 80s became rife with things being filmed here. It was a great place to come because you could do it cheaper. It's the same reason everyone films everything these days in Atlanta, Georgia. They get the same kind of breaks. They get the same kind of deals. Right.
And we don't care. Come on down.
And we're like, it's like Taiwan. Taiwan used to make all the cheap stuff. Now you can't do it cheap there. You got to go to China because all the, you know, the people in Taiwan now own the factories in China. Pretty soon you won't be able to do it cheap there, just like Japan. It's like that. It's like it's gotten expensive here. It's expensive everywhere. So where do you go? You go to Atlanta, and now they're cheaper. And
actors love to work on films and TV shows shot in Austin, Texas, because Texas doesn't have state income tax.
Right.
So you can go get an apartment condo there and make your movie and get paid. And, you know, Bank of America goes everywhere, but it's cheaper.
Right. Some I don't know, interesting competition that creates a weird, you know, because Hollywood is so protective of their unions and things. It's just interesting how that all worked out. But it was odd. So this is good to get this out of the way now. We don't have to talk about it ever again. But it was odd because I just like 2 weeks ago had a there's a little restaurant called Eva's downtown that we like a lot. And it's right next to Cho's stupid fake art gallery now. Like that's the location. So I've seen that. I've parked right there.
Cho's
like
doll store.
So you see these things. You're just like, oh, weird. Like, they kept and when they were filming the big final scene that seemed to last about 6 hours on top of those buildings, they originally were showing shots of the city from west of the freeway. I was telling Brian this before the show, and I know that location generally, so I'm trying to in my head, I'm racking my brain, all right, what building is that? Why is there a hot tub up there? Like I'm thinking, what is this place? And then
the hot tub of death.
The same fight would show another angle of them jumping away from each other or something, and now they're right downtown, right next to the Delta Center. Or what is the Delta Center now in that whole area down there. And it's not even close to where they were shooting over there yet. It's supposed to be this exact same building. So two things happened there. One, I was just like, well, this is impossible for me to figure out where they were shooting from. But secondly, it just reminded me that this is how movies are. Like they film in, even if they were filming in LA, if you lived in that part of LA, you'd know exactly how they were mixing and matching scenes. And there was no way that street was next to this street. Or that car could jump over that thing because that doesn't exist there or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the movie Death Proof takes place in South Austin at the beginning.
That's a great movie.
And they jump around all over Austin, and it's, like, hard to swallow. Like, whoa, they just
– like
they
there?
Just they were just driving on the south side of the river, and they got out of the car, and they're on the north side of the river. But you got to be from there to catch it.
Now, Sho Kosugi – how do you say his name? Kosugi.
Would you say? Call him Cho.
Kosugi. All right, great. Machete. It's Machete is his last name. Okay. Kiddings. Despite being the second entry in the Ninja trilogy, this film has nothing to do with either of the films, the one that preceded it, either the Enter the Ninja movie, nor the one that followed it, Ninja 3, The Domination, other than the fact that they all starred this same dude, Sho Kazugi.
Because he was a real ninja.
I have just been completely corrected. It's like if you look up the phonetic pronunciation of his last name, it's actually Suichi.
Oh, that's, oh, really?
That's awesome.
The K is a weird.
Yeah, yeah.
How's sushi spelled over there with a K? Kushi. I'd like
that's
some kushi.
Weird.
Give me some nice.
I don't know, but
spicy tuna kushi would be great.
Oh, that's his first name. Oh, I see. I see. Sho is short for Suichi.
Oh, gotcha.
You know what's funny? I just
call me Sho for short.
I just did a thing in my head where I pictured. I don't know. Don't ask me why, but I picture Randy in a quiet. What do you call it? A library, like a public library, just quiet. And you're over there by like some index cards, rifling through a little drawer of them. It's dead quiet in there. There's no music. Yeah. People are whispering. And you just went, oh, I've just been corrected and just did your whole thing you just did about that. Like a loud dude in a library. I don't know why I'm seeing that in my head. I totally can picture that.
Everybody just turned to look at Randy when he said that.
Right.
What?
What's that guy doing? Anyway, okay. Don't ask me why. Anyway. I don't know what that was about. Anyway,
he's awesome.
Yeah, he was the only guy I was believing.
As far as the moves, sure.
It was good. Even him grinding his pants off in the back of that van.
Oh, man.
Sparks. What kind of pants you got that have sparks coming off of them?
Yeah, down by the old Westco building.
Ninja pants, because his skin weren't even road rash. Did you see that?
No, he just had a couple little streaks of blood on him, and other than that, he was fine.
Local note, I threw an egg at that Westco building once. With some friends.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, with some friends.
They've been looking for you, Scott.
Don't remember what the deal was. It was some, and that, I think that thing got torn down, and that Gateway Mall is now like in the place where all that whole thing took place now. But anyway, I promised I wouldn't mention that again, but there it is. Let's talk about that sweet mafia stereotype. That guy looked like, he looked like that actor.
Robert Loggia.
Yeah. Kind of like Robert Loggia if he was having treatment done, like he was had cancer or something.
It's not what you're thinking about. I thought for sure you're going to bring up Robert Loggia.
It's not. It's the mobster guy in that Payback movie with Mel Gibson.
Yeah, yeah.
Reminded me of like a wrinkled up version of that guy.
Yeah, Mario Gallo is his name.
Yeah, character actor.
And like, oh, dude, that right off the bat, his name is Mario Gallo. Yeah, like he's already perfect. But yep. Dude, God.
Died a year and a half after this movie ended.
Really? Man, this guy just like eats up every scene he's in.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Didn't expect all those. I knew the movie was going to be a little violent because I'd heard that before, but I didn't expect all the cussing took place in the mafia room. Do you notice that? That's
yeah.
Where all your F-bombs were dropped.
Well, that and the gang.
Right. The theme gang.
The village people gang.
Oh, you're talking about the playground gang.
Movies used to do that, right? Like the good guys never cursed and the bad guys always cursed.
By the way, Murray Park, that's where you can actually still go to where that jungle gym is. And it's huge. And as a kid, we thought it was the greatest thing in the history of the world.
Now, the playground gang, I isolated them as the cowboy pimp. The Hawaiian biker, the kamikaze Latino, and the very offensive portrayal of the black guy hiding behind a post.
Earlier,
real estate.
Earlier in the film, this movie has busts out the trope of the better henchman, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You have some henchmen; they don't quite do the job, so you call in the better henchmen. And in this particular case, one of the better henchmen was Indian, an American Indian, freaking.
Yes.
American Indian Ninja, they're always great.
Right. Tomahawks, dude.
Yes, right.
That was great.
Just kept waiting for him to go, Enoch Chuck.
Yep. But right, he looked as white as me, by the way. He didn't look all that, you know, Native American.
We'll call him Nava Henchman.
Nava Henchman.
And as soon as I saw him, I'm like, oh, please let there be other village people in this movie.
Right?
Please let there be other village people. Sure enough. And it's not like there weren't just other village people. They all come falling out of a buck bucket in this one scene. Like, what are they doing?
We're going to use up all our village people in 1 minute.
Right. Yeah. Wouldn't you love to know what they were doing in that kid's park before this fight scene?
Exactly.
Oh, I love it.
You know, guys, we really got to agree on a theme.
But I can't. I mean, I have to tell you, it is a little bit surreal. 1982 meant that these were a lot of locals, right? They were hiring extra actors and things. The guy with the patch that got the ninja star in his eye and fell in that fountain, which, by the way, got torn down because that thing's ugly.
In his good eye.
Yeah, his one good eye, right?
Yes.
He was in every commercial, local commercial I ever saw for furniture stores and electronics stores. That guy was everywhere all the time, and it really was weird to see him in this.
Was he one-eyed in all those?
No, he never. He had both working functional eyes.
Interesting.
He had a star sticking out of one of them, which was weird. After that, I guess, maybe, how that worked out. But anyway, that was just funky. Yeah, you're right about the inability. Like, I felt like this wasn't made by I thought this was made by somebody outside of American culture.
U.S.? Right.
Yeah, like it was maybe a Chinese director or something and I kept having to look. Oh, no, this guy's – he did –
Right.
He knows theme gangs. He's done Electric Boogaloo. He knows his theme gangs, but it just, you know what I mean? Like it just kept saying to me, oh, this can't be,
too many American culture. Gangs. Right.
Right. Yeah. Cause it felt like he was totally out of touch on that stuff, but that was really interesting.
It was fun.
Let's see. How about this? One of my favorite tropes in movies. People eavesdrop on phone calls from the other room. This never worked for me in real life. I don't know if you guys remember trying this when you were kids.
Click, 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 click.
They could always hear it. Yeah. Or the volume would change. Like the power over the line would alter how loud you could be. And my mom always knew, Scott, get off the phone. And I'd be like, damn it. This is movies. It works all the time in the movies. Anyway, that bugged me a little bit.
Boy. I knew how to do that. You know what you did? You took if you had the phone with you used to be able to take off, you could take off the receiver. What you could do is you could take off, you could unscrew it, and you could pull the mic out.
Right. Exactly. And I would do that. We had a household that had two phones on the same line, obviously, and one of them was in a closet, which we referred to as the phone booth.
Right.
And and so sometimes I would try to sneak in the phone booth and listen in on a call when I was a little kid, and I learned you could do that. You could disconnect basically the wire for the mic side, but the problem is when you picked it up off the cradle, there was a click. It doesn't matter.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter what you did going into it. You were making a click, and mom could hear it.
You made a sound no matter what. So unless your mom was totally dumb, you couldn't get away with it. And all these movies kept doing it, and I remember hating that because that doesn't work. So even today, here's the worst thing: my mom doesn't listen to the show. The guy she's married
to
now. I don't know what to call the guy she's married to now.
That would be it's your stepdad.
I don't think of it that way, though.
But you need to say stepdad so we understand who you're talking about.
But he was like 78 when he married her. So
what's his name? Does he have a name?
It's John. We call him John. Stepfart. He's Stepfart. All right? So Stepfart, occasionally when I call the house and talk to my mom, I hear this sound. I hear a little, and they still have a traditional like phone on the wall. And she'll pick it up, and hello? Oh, hey, mom, how's it going? Oh, it's so good. And then I hear a... And I know John's listening on the other thing.
You're talking to that boy again.
But I never say anything. It's happened multiple times, and I never go, is someone listening on the other line? Because I know they are. She's kind of echoing. I can hear him breathing through his freaking hairy nostrils. Like, it's just weird. Yeah. I hate that. Anyway. It's
funny.
It's the worst thing. She would catch me doing it growing up, but I can't do it to her because I feel like I have to resist. All right. The grandma dying scene was the greatest thing ever. I just wanted to mention that.
Right. Ninjas were always trying to escape using smoke in this movie, and it never worked.
Dude, we had freaking Stunt Granny. Yeah. This movie had Stunt Granny. This is one of my favorite tropes ever.
Yeah. She was so much bigger.
They put a chick who's like a gymnast in Granny's outfit and shoot her from behind and then have her do backflips.
Yes. Oh, God. It's like a thing you'd see like an old Mel Brooks TV show they did somebody go across the screen that was supposed to be that person.
So
there's no way in hell that was that person. It's basically CGI Yoda now. That's what we do now.
That's exactly what I called it. I was like, she is so CGI Yoda. 100%.
Right. She died, and apparently all those curtains had little like dolly wheels on them so you can rotate it around.
Except she had to, because there was not a platform on it, she had to actually walk around with the curtain, with the knife stuck in her back through the curtain. as so you like watching the knife wiggle around as she's having to move her feet.
Yeah.
Best scene of the film. Best scene.
We have arrived at talking about the stock ninja weaponry because she uses she's surrounded by weapons. She's in a room surrounded by weapons.
Right.
She uses the Nagatepo, the smoke bomb.
Oh, the Nagatepo. Right.
Right.
And that's, dude, I'm telling you, I grew up with this stuff. This was made for a 12-year-old.
Were you hanging around Spencer's at like 13 trying to buy Ninja Stars and stuff like that?
Yes.
Oh, heck yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's a big deal, I remember, in our youth. There was a big
huge
5-6-year period there where everybody had switchblades and Ninja Stars, and you had to hide it from the school and keep it in your locker.
So can we get to it?
Yeah, go
ahead. Like, this movie had all of them. It had... It had the ninjato, right? The sword.
Yeah, that
one. It had the kunai.
Oh,
the throwing daggers.
Yeah, it's kind of earthy, but it's not a bad wine if you try it. It's not too
It had the shuriken,
yeah,
right?
Shuriken.
Throwing stars, thank you. The throwing stars. I could go on and on. There's a freaking sumo guy with nunchucks. There's I already mentioned
the ball on a chain that you swing around. What's that? Mm-hmm.
Manriki is just a weapon on a chain, right?
It's called the wife, Brian.
Very funny. so let's just go with that. It had the Manriki.
Sure.
Okay.
I'll have that too. Is that hot? Is that spicy? Or can I get the Manriki without
it? It's hot.
Can I get the Manriki without chicken?
What else? Gosh, there's
somebody
so
gets garroted
many.
with a garroting blade. Or
the fat wrestler guy got.
Yes.
Right. While he was trying to get it on with
Blondie. While he was taking his turn on beating up the blonde.
Right.
Right, so that would be the like the gamma, right?
Sure,
the little scythe, a little scythe.
Yeah.
There were caltrops. There were claws. There were.
What were the spitting things where you spit the stars in their face? What was that?
Oh yeah, that's cool.
Is that a usable thing?
Without reloading.
What do you call the ninja ladder?
So Scott, Senbon, hold on.
Senbon, I go there when I'm in the mall. Always stop at Senbon.
Yeah,
Senbon, they're like things you blow out like with a pipe. Or in this case, you load them into like a cone, and you put it in your mouth. The small end, you put the small end in your mouth and blow it, and they fly out of the cone.
Okay.
Right, that's what you're talking about.
So they look like little. They look like caltrops for your face.
Right, but they're like flying needles.
Or what was it where you hit the ball and pick up the
tether wall?
What do you call that where you play blackjack? Blackjack?
Backgammon?
Jacks. Just jacks.
Jacks. Just
there
jacks.
No
just
other. Jacks. There's no descriptor. It's just jacks. You're right. But that's what they look like—a face full of jacks.
Oh yeah,
and they would go and stand there a long time holding it.
And of course the Psy, right? Like anybody who ever watched Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles knows,
or Red the Psy,
which was originally an agricultural tool that became a.
Oh wait, so this is like the long handle with the short curved small scythe.
An S. Well, no, it's like a knife that's got kind of an S. Hand thing on it, like it's what Elektra used in Daredevil and Elektra.
Yeah,
right.
I think it's called a Psy.
All right,
yeah, it is a Psy.
All right, it's a Psy then.
Bullseye kills her with one of those.
Oh,
spoiler alert!
Oh yeah, spoiler. Right. As if you're gonna give two craps about that.
No, go read the Frank Miller one.
Oh, that one's really good.
Yeah,
that one's really good.
Yeah.
Anyway, comics. any other weapons too? So with all the exploding balls, some of them are bigger than others. Some of them make bigger smoke than others. Is there?
It's funny that they
what are you Indian?
So
make
too.
Bigger smoke.
It's like the guy, the one at the beginning who throws the smoke bomb, and then he steps forward out of the smoke and then starts attacking instead of, throw the smoke. Now attack like crazy because they can't see you and they can't block. Let's wait until the smoke dissipates.
That was weird because he dropped it and he backed into it and he walked right back at it. I didn't understand that at all. I was like, that's not like an accident.
That's not
like,
how you use that.
The whole idea of Nagatepo is ridiculous. It's ridiculous. You have
not if you're a ninja.
You have a little egg, and when you like throw it at the ground so that it breaks, it explodes in smoke. Where are you going to keep that? That's safe.
on your person. No place to sit. You're on your ninja bus and you sit down. Oh shoot!
Yeah, right next to your flamethrower, which you keep up your sleeve.
Right, that was awesome, dude.
Oh man. Why would you? Okay, so we've gone all the way to the
using that. For
yeah, we got all the way to the final scene. That's like
I got a flamethrower.
It's like the seventh or eighth maneuver. It was like a
boss fight with like 20 phases.
Yeah,
and they're all dumber than the last.
I forgot to get you a flamethrower. Yeah. Oh, hold on, let me use this. Let me turn this on.
So many gadgets, you just couldn't even. You wouldn't be able to get around. But man, it sounds listening audience. It sounds like we're complaining. This is the best part. Yeah.
Awesome.
Oh, the movie. It was like fun.
The whole film, from the very beginning, you know it's all leading to one showdown. You don't even know at the beginning between whom, but you know it's leading to a showdown because it's a pure action film.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I hate calling something that's pretty much crap. It's making it sound great, but it's like a prototypical action film. It's mm-hmm. There's nothing going on in this movie that is an action film.
Yeah.
Like they all the non-action is just there to get you, like porn, to get you from action to action and make some sort
of
sense.
If James Bond is artistic gadgetry usage, then this is pornographic gadgetry usage.
Right.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's like that extreme. And even to move the plot forward, it's like, all right, well, somehow this kid needs to see who the bad guy is so we can turn that corner.
Who weighs all of 10 pounds.
Yeah, that little spindly kid, who, by the way, looks kind of a badass now. I saw him here recently.
Been a much better Karate Kid.
But of course, the only time Bill Russell takes his hood off.
Bill Russell, I love it.
He looks like that 70s basketball white guy, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does.
Pulls that hood off. Is the one time the kid happens to be up in the ceiling tiles. While he's, I don't know what, getting a better look at dead grandma? Well, I don't know what was going on there.
That's because he saw that ninja ladder. And I'm like, if you're a ninja, why do you need a ladder? You don't need a ninja ladder.
Get back up.
Yeah,
but all I do is walk around to the steps. Why don't you take the steps to begin with? Come on, man. Ninja's smarter, not harder.
The kid is on the roof, right? The kid is on the roof, and he's like 30 feet above the ninja, above Keith Vitale.
Brian said, ninja smarter, not harder.
Yes, that's right.
That's the greatest thing I've ever heard. Holy crap. Where's Twitter? I can't type fast enough. Sorry, go ahead.
The kid is like 30 feet above Keith Vitale, right? He's just watched Keith Vitale kill his grandma. Then there's a ladder coming all the way down from where the kid is. So ninja starts to come up there. Now, kid is in mortal danger. So he pulls out a knife and starts cutting the rope of the ladder, right?
Yeah.
Wait. That's all I'm saying. Wait. Hey, kid, just wait. If you cut the rope when the ninja's only 5 feet off the floor, you're still in mortal danger. If you cut the rope when he's 25 feet off the floor, you win.
But then you run the risk of him jumping up at the last second and hooking his fingers into the ceiling.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's okay. Dumb kid ran immediately away from that, ran straight into the door.
Into the metal door.
Yes. That was pretty good. Pretty good. Yeah.
There were lots of laugh out loud moments in this film. That was absolutely one of them.
Yeah.
I'm just going to run this way and.
You can say that again. So many laugh out loud moments.
Well, Dunaway said it pretty well in email yesterday. He felt like we missed an opportunity to do a live version or a commentary version of this movie.
Yeah.
And I agree. This fits that bill maybe better than anything we've ever done. And I wouldn't put it aside that we could redo it at one point. I agree with that.
But at the same time, I really want you who are listening to this episode to have watched the film and paid attention to the film.
Mm.
Like it's so layer after layer of crazy that I don't want you to hear our four voices intruding on that.
Yeah, right.
Yep. So, yeah, it's a piece of work, you guys.
It is. It really, really is.
Let's see. What else? The fan fights are the best. What did I write that down for?
Hi, Daddy. Aww.
What does that mean, the fan fights? What was I talking about?
The fan fights, when he was fighting using the fans.
Yes.
Like
he had, right.
Against the gang.
At the park.
Yeah, at
the park. I know that's a thing, right? That's a technique.
I looked up all the weapons. I have no idea what
I might just be thinking of what's her name.
That's what Chun-Li used them in Street Fighter, didn't she?
Well, no, it's the Mortal Kombat chick.
Mortal Kombat.
Oh, that's what it was, yes.
Melina or Marjorie or whatever the hell her name was. One of those chicks used a katana.
Marjorie wins.
Right.
Fatality.
It's another one of those things like, hey, if you just had a little gun in your boot instead of that,
this would be over.
Right.
That's what the van fight scene was all about. Okay, first of all, if you're in a van and being chased by a ninja, just go ahead and stop and try to take him on. Don't try to continue to drive and keep your foot down the gas pedal. It makes no sense.
Right.
They finally pulled out the gun after he kicked all her butts.
Yeah.
And so they finally decided, oh, let's use a gun.
It was low rent Jackie Chan too, and this is nothing against Sho because the guy's got skills. But the choreography and his ability to kind of pull off those Jackie Chan moments where he's sucked into a van, he's near crippled, but he still can fight. One guy ducks, hit that guy in the face, move your head, poke him in the face with a thing. Like that stuff wasn't working here.
Yeah. Well, and because again, he's doing all his own stunts, but he's not being directed and produced by people who know what to do with that.
Yeah,
they're just stunt like didn't do or. Is one of the scenes when he's behind the van, because this dude, you know, is like maybe 5'10" or so. Whoever was doing that other scene was like 6'3" or something. He was tall.
Right. No, that's a good point. I was just going to say about I wrote down hot tub, but now I remember what it is.
Oh, the hot tub.
The death by hot tub, dude.
I'm going to spa you to death.
That was crazy.
That was James Bond right there, man.
It was, but it was so dumb. As an owner of a hot tub and knowing how they work, all they did was lower the water level and then turn the jets on high, and the jets that were now exposed from the lower water were just spewing water in her face.
Right in the face.
Big deal. Yeah.
Might hurt, but that's about it.
Big deal. Won't even hurt. Just irritate you. Like maybe it's waterboarding-ish, and I get that when it fills up, then you're done. But they were making it seem like that was filling up the tub. That's not how that works. That's cycled water through the existing water. You'd have to have a hose out of the tub.
Yeah.
Right. Did he wander in the backyard and grab the hose and wring it around? Like that was the dumbest scene. But I loved it. It was like, you know, being James Bond being strapped to a shark tank while a laser beam's getting closer to his crotch and, you know, and laughing while you're leaving. Oh, look what I'm doing to her, she was such a non-player anyway. Who cares what happens to her? Why'd you save your most extravagant death scene for this girl?
Right.
I'm going to sauna the boy.
I was worried about that. I'm like, why is he in the sauna room? Why are they just kind of, what is this all about?
Yeah. There was also a scene where she got out of that. So the boy saved her.
And she went around and pulled all the pins that were holding her in,
all that silliness.
Things on the side.
So then they go in the other room and she's on the phone trying to call Sho or Cho.
Running around downtown Salt Lake City in a bathrobe.
Right. Yeah. And she's standing there virtually buck naked. She's got on tight little French cut panties.
And she's
showing through. I mean, let's just say the pepperonis were on the pizza in that scene, all right? And that poor kid is standing there, and I'm just thinking to myself, yeah, that's what you do with your 10-year-old actor. You just put him in front of the hottest thing you can find who's half naked, and let's just make a scene out of that. Good job. Good parenting.
I love the acting scene when she comes to confront Cho the first time, and she's kind of flirting with him, and she forgets her pants, apparently. And there's like one spin around. There's one spin around where her shirt comes up high enough, and you can tell she's got like on pantyhose.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah.
Got those out of a ninja egg too, probably.
Yes, because those, those won't run when you're doing your karate.
No, never.
She was also the most poorly dressed woman. Like, there's the scene where the bad guy, where Brayden is trying to mess with her on the couch, and she's in bra and panties. It's kind of a little late to play hard to get.
She's pushing him away like some kind of.
No. I agreed to take off all my clothes and just wear my bra and panties, but oh no, that's where it stops.
No, Bill Russell. I loved you when you played for the 76ers, but I'm not into this. All right. Let's see.
A lot of our listeners won't get the sports reference, Scott.
No, they probably won't.
I just want to say one thing about that scene because I felt for him as an actor in that scene because she's standing there in a red gi and no pants. And she says to him, you want to work out now? And he says, if you want to work out, you forgot your pants.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And then she says, you really think I forgot? And I just wanted to go, yes, what did I just say? Yes, I think you forgot your pants.
Yeah.
What? I just like to want to yell at the script.
To tell Cho, no, the answer is, okay, well, those aren't pants. Those are pantyhose. And I'm not into
practice
that.
Practice using the staff.
Yeah, that's not great. Okay. My grandma wore those. She got them in a big egg at freaking Macy's. They still do that? Can you buy those in eggs, I wonder?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Legs, eggs.
Yeah,
yeah,
still can do that.
Legs.
That seems like a thing that should have, like the Don Draper idea that should be gone by now.
Yeah.
You know? Doesn't it seem that way? Like, that shouldn't be a thing you can still buy. I so associate that with, like, my grandma and the way her house smelled and my aunts.
But how many of those eggs did you fill with Legos and use with your action figures? Like, you know, your Star Wars guys are traveling via egg to get to the Death Star. Right.
Yep, my Superman action figure traveled in that egg to Earth as an adult in his suit.
Nice.
In that egg, as that was, I was more having my own Star Wars origin story going on here. All right. Longest fight of all time? Have we seen a fight? I just want to, just for the numbers here, have we seen a film sack movie?
They Live.
Right, They Live. That's the only one that came close to that.
All right. I think it even beat length of They Live.
I think it might have beat it.
So we're talking about the final fight?
The final fight. Yep.
Did you also read that this thing took 28 days to shoot?
I did read that.
How in the...
I don't understand.
It was definitely multiple days. If you look at the sky during the fight, it keeps changing.
Yeah.
Like, at one point it's crystal clear, and then it's really cloudy. Yeah. And then
one point
it's like
the mountains had snow, the next point they didn't.
And I get that if you want generally the same shadows, you only have like a 2-hour window every day when you're filming outdoors day after day after day. But what took 28 days?
I don't know.
The jump from the ledge, the unnecessary jump from the ledge down to the tennis court to travel right back up to the ledge to fight again. Or the volleyball court.
I love the tennis court standoff when they both use their air guitars or their air weapons.
They basically start the fight.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen this, by the way, stop and go watch it.
Yeah, it's so good. Yeah,
they start the fight by realizing, oh, this is it. This is the trope of one of us, only one man is going to leave, right?
Two men and one leaves. Yep.
And so they kneel before each other. Like you do when you're, I guess, Asian and you're going to do martial arts. You like show respect.
Not exactly the same.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
And then they essentially do this long, drawn out 1, 2, 3, 4, I declare a thumb war. And it's so bizarre.
It's really bizarre.
Yeah, how many finger combinations can you twist your hand into? Exactly.
I got a sword. No, I've got a Thuan star.
Yeah. But I'm very interested where this mysterious roof is, where you can have a hard floor volleyball court set up hot tub. Nice. I don't know where this is.
Still, you might be able to Google Maps, like look down on Google Maps and find it.
I should do that because again, some of that stuff's on the west side, some of it's on the. I'm dead serious about how curious I am about like wanting to. I want to go up there. I want to get pictures.
Oh yeah, we could almost make this like a side thing at Nerdtacular. Tour the filming locations.
For Revenge of the
Ninja. Go to the playground with the Village People gang. You could go to the go pee like the hobos on the Japanese garden.
Right. I could go find out where that the Sandlot is in the Sandlot. I'd go find that. A bunch of cool stuff we could find.
Right.
Anyway, so there you go. Any other big points to hit before we clip it?
I don't even. I'm just like, there are so many things. There's so many, like the trope of the highly visible ninja is all over this movie.
It's hilarious.
Like, it makes no sense. I don't understand it. I realize in most films it's played for laughs, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right.
But in this film, they're really serious. Like, there are people living out their lives in LA and they see a ninja go running by and they're like, all right, whatever.
Oh, that was the one thing. Every crowd scene. Nobody's paying. Like, dude gets a star in the face, falls flat into that thing, starts bleeding out in there. People just walking on by.
All right. Yeah. That happens in L.A.
Yeah. Like, star that's nothing. And then at the end, suddenly there are people there. And I noticed they're all like children, like 12-year-olds.
the whole point of this.
That's who made the movie. That was the directors.
Well, they were ninjing harder, not smarter.
Right.
Best thing ever. All right. Well, let's play some clips. We got a couple here. Let's start with this one. The father and the grandfather or the grandmother are talking.
I must stay in Japan. My father, my grandfather were killed fighting on this land.
You're going to wait here until the same thing happens to you? That's crazy.
That's crazy, says Bill Russell.
Crazy. Mm-hmm. Don't do that.
Is it Bill That's Russell crazy. I'm thinking of or the other? Who was the guy with a big, he had a white man fro when he played? Is it Bill Russell? Bill something. I don't know. Doesn't matter.
You're asking the wrong people.
I guess so. Randy usually knows his sporty stuff.
I just don't know what the hell you're referring to, man.
It's Bill Russell, you know, NBA great.
I know Bill Russell. I know Bill Russell.
You have lunch with him every Thursday.
And you, sir, are no Bill Russell.
It's just weird that you keep referring to this white man.
Yeah.
Bill Russell, who was a black man.
No.
You're confusing me.
Oh, it's the wrong guy then. Because the white guy, that's what I'm saying. I'm thinking of the wrong guy then. There's an NBA player, white as rain. It must not be Bill Russell.
It's not Larry Bird.
No, it's not Larry Bird, but it's that Eric. It's that vibe. Lanky, super white, freckly, bad looking hair. And he does a lot of TV commentary for the NBA. Hold on, let me do it in my head. John Tesh. He would always come out, Bill. We're going to find it before the show ends. It's Bill something.
Bill something. Look up Bill Basketball. Bill.
I was known as Bill Basketball back in my day. Hold on, we're going to find it. Bill Russell. Bill Walton.
Okay, Bill Walton, great.
Go look him up and you'll see what I'm saying.
Good job.
Search his face, Brian Ibbett.
Search his face.
You're going to go. Search his face.
Face search.
And you'll see what I'm talking. He's older now.
Oh, yeah, okay.
You see where I'm coming from.
See what you're talking about.
And look at him in his halcyon basketball days and you'll be like, oh, yeah, okay. That guy is basically.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the funny thing is, Bill Basketball.
Except with the beard thing. He had the big red goofy beard, though.
Big Bill Walton. Oh, that's right. He had a big beard. But you see what I mean? Like, big. Right. I don't know. It's probably not all that appropriate, but it seemed right to me at the time. All right. Clip again. Here's one. A sound that scared me in the movie. It was a baby that scared me.
That was when Grandma was going to lean down to check on her dead grandson, and she leaned down and that noise happened, and I was confused for a minute. I was like, okay, did she just fart? What's going on here? I don't...
Oh, let me get down here and have a closer... Oh, excuse me. Excuse me. Let's see.
Weird.
Here's some good advice for you.
Cho, you've got to leave Japan. This will never end here.
I killed my wife and my son.
And they'll be back. You can't fight the ninja forever.
Ooh, you can't fight the ninja forever, can you?
That's good advice.
Oh, not like you did at the end of this movie.
I was going to say. Yeah. You sure tried. All right. Karma is harsh.
You cannot escape your karma, my son. Even if you go as far as America, it will come for you. Believe me, it will.
It will. That's not a Japanese accent, ever.
Oh, she's weird.
America.
And she's like, I think she's much younger than she's actually playing because she's oddly spry.
Yeah. She was a gymnast.
Right.
But the thing is, you don't know if you're actually hearing Grace Oshita's voice.
Yeah.
That's the problem with this movie.
Yeah. It's lots of overdub. I thought the whole movie's going to be like that. And then the blonde lady kind of like got recorded, you know?
Right.
And that threw me off even more. All right. Here's Told You Not to Fight.
I told you not to fight.
That's all that is. Just
shut up. Yeah. I can fight if I want
to. Oh, when he beat up those kids? That was great.
I told you not to fight while I shake you like a rag doll. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. She had a doctor next to him that grabbed him and said, I told you not to shake your kid. You can cause brain damage. All right. Live mic versus dub later. So here you go. It's blonde lady talking to dub man. All right. Yeah. Dub man. Brian, come on. What's his power?
Dub man. Able to talk and not match up with his mouth movements and the words coming out of his mouth.
Excelsior! Very good.
Excelsior with my mouth movements not matching up.
Perfect. All right, here it is. Live mic versus dub.
And I called your partner, Braden. He'll be by sometime this afternoon to look them over.
Kathy, you helped me so much. I really think I should pay you.
Oh, really? I love doing things for you, Joe.
It's room mic versus that weird muffled.
Dude,
that's so bad. So bad. All right, what is a ninja anyway?
It's a ninja, professional soldier, specializing in espionage and assassination.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, assassination.
He's talking about a doll, and ninjas are so badass that even when they're dolls, they hurt you.
Oh, yeah, that doll that sliced the girl. She was touching it. That was funny.
Yes, and it's...
Can we call her Chick in the Bucket? Because she looked like she was nefarious and like was working for somebody and all that, and she
just disappeared, didn't she? Total Chick in the Bucket.
Yep, not with a smoke bomb either.
Did you guys think that Cho's gallery logo looked like a butt?
Yep, it did. Like an ass, like a big old ass.
Yeah,
I didn't notice that.
All right, let's see. Here's a damn it.
Damn it!
Just thought like that one.
Oh, sure. Damn it!
There's a lot of that in this movie.
Yep, lots of that.
This is rated R.
Yeah.
Very, very rated R.
Oh, yeah.
This was This was throwing star in your eye socket rated R.
Right.
Really bloody for, I mean, cheesy bloody now, but for the time, this must have been pretty shocking business. There wasn't much in the way of, like, I don't know, the girly bits were kind of tame. It was pretty tame.
Right.
But the swears and the knives.
The blood. Yeah.
Lots of blood. All right. Here's a little line from the mobster place.
Tell your goons to move.
Tell your goons to move. And then they broke into dance. It was fantastic. Let's see. Love the music cues in this movie. There were lots of this. Whoops. Lots of this. I hated that.
Loved it.
It's all, although it sounds like he just took a dump and then was shocked. Listen.
That is awesome.
Funny death. That was grandma.
Avin Sales grandma, wasn't it?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Like all the flipping around at first. That's great. let's see. Double cross.
Kathy, the dolls are gone. Someone stole them from the gallery. I was double-crossed. Now listen, Kathy. Little Kane saw me. Find him and bring him here to me.
No, not Kane.
Wow, as bad as the movie it is, I can't. That sounds so much worse.
Yeah, it really does. There's your Troll 2 stuff right there.
Yes, for sure.
A Troll 2. All right, here's a great slap I captured.
You told me we're going to hurt him.
Yeah, down she goes.
Dig rid of these.
The striking, like, percussion sound effects in this movie.
Right.
Every little thing, like the sound of a blowpipe blowing a dart, sounds like, yeah, like every little punch and jab and touch. Wow.
Of uncooked chickens got slapped.
Oh, man. Yep. There were so many sides of beef that got punched.
Or a lot of, I'm not even sure they went to that trouble. I think they went and bought like a nice reel to reel with a bunch of these on them. Good enough for them. All right. Here's your most important piece of information about ninjas. If you walk away from this episode with nothing else, it's this.
He hypnotized me. He's a ninja. Do you understand?
Yes, I'm afraid I do.
He hypnotized me.
I get it.
I am a ninja too.
Ninja hypnotists.
I'm the one that made you wear pantyhose to work out in.
You thought that was your idea. It was my idea the whole time.
And then and then this.
Only a ninja can stop a ninja.
There you go.
That's true.
Only ninja can talk with gravelly voice.
Yeah, that too. Yeah.
So hold on then. No. So pirates. Nope. No pirates. Can't fight.
No pirates.
You can fight, but you can't win. Mm-hmm. All right.
No, we saw one pirate. He got shirk into the eye and fell into the water fountain.
All right. Can we put that? True. Then we can put that argument to rest. Then finally,
yes. Ninjas win every time.
Ninjas always win because only a ninja can beat a ninja. Yes. Mm-hmm. Who wins? Ninjas or ninjas? All right.
Ninja without the mask that for some reason is being covered up by the black.
Oh, yeah. Ninja that mask. Seemed convenient, didn't it?
Yeah. Well, this is how you can tell us apart.
That was all that existed for.
Other things we learned: don't bring a mustache to a ninja fight.
Right. Oh, yeah, we'll get that thing chopped off real quick.
Yeah,
forgot about that.
You can't. You can't.
It looked like Scott Fletcher. Once half of his mustache was cut off.
Right. Yeah. Oh, that guy. Yeah. He looked just like Fletcher.
Yeah.
Oh, that weird. Well, he got thrown in like the. It was in the kids' place. They're getting thrown into the net.
Playground. Oh. Yeah.
Scott for Fletcher. I hope you watch this.
For so many of the ninja's deadliest attacks, all you've got to do is take a step backward.
Yeah,
right.
Like, just like, oh, you have a flamethrower. I'm just going to step back one step. Huh. Right. All right. Yeah.
That's like, that's the 12-year-old mentality, man. That's really, how it goes.
Man. That's what we call the simple things. Mm-hmm. All right. It's time for this. Let's give some awards to this film. It worked really hard, really, really lobbied the awards team to get these awards. The top winner in the Indian Racism Award. Good job on that one.
For your consideration.
Yep.
Every Italian mafia team needs an Apache chief.
I agree. Oh, no, Chuck. Japanese dude named Cho seems wrong award. Ran away with that one. And then finally, the old Native American jump out of a window with a crepe move award.
Right. Because you would have been able to knock him out without holding that crate.
Right. And and just, you're dumping to your own death, you big idiot. Like, what is that? That was stupid. Star Trek connections. There's a couple here. We got Stephen Lambert. He was a cowboy thug in one of those gangs, the theme gangs. He was a stunt actor, performed stunts in Star Trek Insurrection and several episodes of Enterprise. Danny Rogers was Chifano's bodyguard number two. He's a stunt actor. He was one of the goons that got in the way.
Yeah, looked like he wasn't the one who looked like Oddjob.
No. Other guy.
He did look like Oddjob. He totally did.
In fact, at first, I thought it might have been him, but it wasn't.
Or it wasn't Pee-wee. It was Francis's bodyguard who looked like that guy.
Now, that is that guy.
That same guy.
Pee-wee
okay.
Herman guy. That's him.
Yep. Okay.
Stunt actor who performed stunts in Star Trek III, The Search for Spock, which we'll be watching for Nerdtacular's edition of FilmSack, Star Trek VI, The Undiscovered Country, and Star Trek First Contact. Soundtrack grade for this one, I'd give it an S for Cynthia's All Hell and Back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was bad. But yeah, other than that, there's your movie. Let's sum it up. Let's take it and let's twist it. Let's turn it into something that 140 characters can handle. Let's start with Randy.
Revenge of the Ninja, possibly the second or third greatest ninja movie ever made, which is exactly like calling Scott and me the second or third greatest bald host of this show.
Well said. I like that. All right. Let's now jump over to Mr. Brian Dunaway.
Revenge of the Ninja, opening credits that totally made me want to order Chinese food with this fancy Chinese lettering.
Yeah. And did you?
I did not, because I realized I was watching a Japanese movie.
Nice job.
You know what's funny is the very first note on my sheet here, opening credits use the same font as our local Chinese restaurant takeout menu.
Not just the headers either.
No.
They're real bad with that stuff. Finally, yeah. Mr. Brian Ibbett.
Revenge of the Ninja. I'm going to go out on a limb here and guess that this movie was made during the height of the hot tub craze.
Right?
80s hot tubs and cocaine, dude.
That's right. You got the hot tub at the end on the rooftop. You got the hot tub that the couple are doing it in.
And, yep. Right. And that's how it worked.
Torture scene. Yeah.
Well, here's what I learned while you took way too long to send that one goon down the slide. I kept waiting for that. Push him down the slide. The worst thing you can do when you're trying to bully the Kung Fu kid is get on your bike and try to run him over. Stupid move. That was hilarious.
Oh, I was like, once again, like I said, that's the kind of things that you would do when you're 12. It's like, okay, how do I attack this person? Right. I'm going to jump my bike.
Yep.
Spin towards him for about 15 minutes.
When Randy was recommending this movie months ago, on that premise, I wasn't fully in. I was like, I don't know. When I was 12, all sorts of dumb things seemed cool. Right. But you are dead right about why this movie would appeal to that mindset. Mm-hmm. It's just gadgets and shite. And how do I tape a stick to the end of this? And how do I make my bike make weird noise and flash lights when I'm running down the street at midnight? Like those kinds of things. That's all you cared about growing up. I don't know what it says about the male psyche, but I feel like it was a boy thing for sure.
Yeah.
Anyway, what else did I learn? Oh, this. Everybody was pantyhose fighting. All right, it's the last time I'll ever do that. In Revenge of the Ninja World, Native Americans are the worst drivers. And then finally, best way to kill a half-naked sumo wrestler trying to kill you is to yell, "Hey, look, it's Superman," which is what the kid did.
That's exactly what he did.
Right.
Stupid. All right. We got an email here from, who is this from? This is from Ben Betts. Cool name, Ben Betts, who says, "You guys keep talking about like this, like you're not sure who's been on the most FilmSack movies list. Well, here you go. Frog Pants Wikia. We're going to settle this deal. Cast only, most of the time. Sacked in 7 film sack movies, Jean-Claude Van Damme. So that confirms it.
Here we go.
It's Hard Target, Last Action Hero, Street Fighter, Sudden Death, The Quest, Time Cop, and Universal Soldier. Al Leong is in seven film sack movies, so they're tied.
That's the walrus-looking Asian fighter guy.
Yep, big action. Big Action Jackson. Action Jackson. Big Trouble in Little China, Die Hard, Double Dragon, Last Action Hero, Golden Child, and They Live.
Wow.
And then your top actors with 6 appearances are Sylvester Stallone, Peter Jason, whoever the hell that is, David Patrick Kelly, come out and play, yay, that guy.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Frank Welker has been in 6 appearances. Jeez. 5 appearances, Lundgren, Schwarzenegger, Brent Spiner, Patrick Stewart, Danny Trejo. How is Patrick Stewart in 5 appearances? Oh,
wow, really?
We did 2 Trek things, so that's...
Yeah, that
okay.
helps.
Okay.
That helps a lot. Danny Trejo, Grand L. Bush, Larry Duran, Jeffrey Lewis, Tony Munfuffo, whatever that is, and then Sven Ole Thorsen with four. And then the fourth appearance thing is a huge list I don't want to read. But it's like
nice. Bill so Paxton. He set this up maybe as an IMDb list, and then you can.
Well, it's actually So the Wikipedia and so you can go confirm it. These are all like got links and stuff. It's I love the
God. I'm looking at Peter Jason right now, and I still don't recognize him from what we've seen him in.
I recognize Frank Welker as a voice actor in everything that's ever been animated.
Yeah.
But I don't know what the hell have we.
Well, if you want to know, here's how small the world of Hollywood is. Because forget about the actors. The big appearances, Barbara Harris, casting department is her credit. Mm-hmm. 21 film SAC films.
Wow. Really?
She can really pick the right actors.
Yep. Yeah. And this music department credit, Sandy DeCrescent, 22 films.
Wow.
Thomas Rosnalls Jr. in stunts, 18. And he's tied with Dan Wallen with the music department at 18 appearances also. That's freaking nuts.
And that also tells you how much they were getting paid. Because when you're an actor and you're getting a cool $250,000 even in a film or whatever, you only have to work a couple times a year. Whereas when you're a grip, you're always trying to get work. Like you're going to be in as many films as they'll let you work in.
Right. Exactly. Anyway, I love that. That's an awesome email. Huge thanks, Ben, for reminding us that this wiki exists. You can find it at frogpants.wikia.com. And just look under the film sack stuff and you'll be kind of blown away by the stats.
So looking forward.
Yeah, let's look forward.
Never back,
always forward.
We have just watched pirates and we've just watched ninjas.
Robots.
So we're sitting around and we don't have a robot film in the list. Sorry. Not at this time. We'll find one. But we're just saying, we want to watch Jackie Chan. So next week, it's going to be Super Cop.
Oh, yeah. Because after that, Star Trek 3 live edition, live from Nerdtacular, which you can catch streamed if that's how you'd like to do it, or it'll be on the feed as a regular episode that weekend, at least some point, probably Monday following. So, yes, Jackie Chan. Get our Jackie Chan on again for the second time, I want to say. Second movie? Yeah.
No, at least the third,
well, hold
right?
on. We got the – you did your Rumble in the Bronx.
Commentary track for Rumble in the Bronx, right.
I think that's it.
No way. This is only our second Jackie Chan movie.
I think that's it. I could be wrong. Someone could correct us. Maybe this wiki says.
Wow. Okay.
Maybe that's how we know. Let's see. Jackie Chan. I'll just look it up. something about Carol Channing and, list of Film Sack episodes. Here it is. Let's just find it. Chan.
This is hysterical.
We have one. Yeah, that's it.
All right.
Rumble in the Bronx is it.
No Cannonball Run 2 yet.
Nope. No, oh my gosh, I forgot I was in that. He is in that, isn't he? Mm-hmm. Why have we not seen Cannonball Run? Because it's not streaming, probably. We should watch that. All right, that's going to do it then. Let's get the hell out of here. We really, really appreciate you guys hanging out with us this week and enjoying the show right along with us. We enjoy it more when you do. If you'd like to be a part of the show, you can visit the website, filmsack.com. You can email us, filmsack@gmail.com. And on Twitter, we are followable at FilmSack, And by the way, you can also follow us individually. Follow Brian Dunaway at Mission Deep. You can follow Brian Ibbett at Coverville. You can follow Randy at Randy Deluxe. And you can follow me at Scott Johnson. Leave us a review on iTunes. Find more great shows like this at frogpants.com. Keep your eyes on Nerdtacular for our live show. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Brian. And for Randy.
That's me.
We'll see you next time.
Ninja.
Pause.
We're all waiting for somebody else.
Joe.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there!